The following programming is sponsored by BFG LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good afternoon. Thank you for listening to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers, the host of Conversation Unplugged. First, before we go into our guest or our co-host, I want to just thank each and every one of our listeners on WWDB 860 AM, as well as those that are watching us on Facebook, YouTube, etc. We want to thank you for just supporting Conversation Unplugged. We provide very thought-provoking conversations to inspire, transform, and create productive conversations within a community. And we're looking to further that, as stated earlier about 4 or 5 months ago, as we go to a podcast format and begin to expand the brand. So we just thank you for allowing us to bring good quality, thought-provoking conversations from African-American pastors, from an African-American perspective, so you can hear a prophetic voice that address the issues that affect our community and our country. Pastor Robert Johnson, what's going on, bro?
Man, I can't call it, dog. I'm trying to get my technology together. I've been discombobulated since Monday night, man. I don't know if I'm coming or I'm going.
Hey, before I go any further to last week, I had on my paraphernalia. It was Founders Day for Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Blue Five Pastor Larry Waltower. Yeah, we got 2 alphas and 2 sigmas on the day. And I also want to say happy Founders Day to our sisters, the Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. They're celebrating their Founders Day today, 105 years. So again, to all of my sisters of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, happy Founders Day. And as of yesterday, to my wife and all of her sorority sisters of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, happy Founders Day. And so I don't miss anyone. To all my cousins and colleagues who are Deltas, happy Founders Day to you too as well. Pastor Johnson, man, God bless you, man. Great having you on as a co-host. We got Reverend Dr. John Duckworth and Reverend Dr. Larry Waltower, Blue Five. Got to throw that in there. That's going to be joining us today as we discuss our subject, which is very important in light of this inauguration that's taking place on Monday. Ironically, on the day that we observe the legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we will be having our conversation, unplugging this conversation today, talking about how do we recapture the message of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But before we go any further, I'm going to ask Reverend Dr. John E. Duckworth if he could just tell us a little bit about himself, Reverend Dr. Larry Waltower, who's also an author as well. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to really dive into this subject this afternoon.
Well, first of all, very thoughtful and grateful for the invitation to be a part of this very important conversation. I am been pastoring now for the last 22 years in Westland, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit. And I've been in ministry for 42 years in a couple of weeks. So most of my life and all of my adult life have been engaged in ministry. I'm blessed to be a husband of one wife and a father of a set of triplets, 14-year-old triplets.
Wow.
So my life is always popping.
Wow. And I also want to highlight, you are a brother Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, correct?
Correct.
I just want to bring that out, because I want to hear Robert Johnson's mouth. You too shaded, my brother. You didn't recognize. So, all right. Pastor Waltower.
What's up, Blue Five? What, Blue Five?
Yeah, that's right. You know.
What's up to my Alpha brothers?
What's going on, my brother?
Good to have you, man. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share with this great conversation and with these distinguished men of Alpha. Alpha Phi Alpha, we find it a privilege and an honor to be with you, my friend, Pastor Weathers. I serve as the senior pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church here in York, Pennsylvania. I've been in senior pastoral ministry for about the last 29 years. I've been here in York for about 9 years. I was at a church in South Florida for about 20 years before transitioning here to York, Pennsylvania. And so we've been in ministry for about 40 years. And so I definitely concur with my dear friend and brother, Dr. Duckworth, that most of my life has been in ministry. And we are just so grateful to be a part of this conversation surrounding the legacy of a great, great brother who's a fellow Alpha. So I know these Alphas in the house got a whole lot to say about Dr. King, but we're so grateful because his legacy, his life, his labor was not just for one organization, but he was committed to the fellowship of the beloved community, which encompasses us all. So we're grateful for this opportunity. And thank you, Dr. Weathers, for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. Listen, we are approaching. Yesterday was Dr. King's birthday, and this coming Monday, the 20th of 2025, is a day that we will be observing the legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I remember as a kid growing up in Chester outside of Philadelphia, I remember listening to the syndicated broadcast by Georgie Woods, Eyes on the Prize, you got me? And it took us from Montgomery to Memphis, and it was an all-day event on the radio. And it captured the social justice movement of the civil rights movement. And so now we come to a point where Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday is now a federal holiday. But I'm concerned, and Pastor Johnson and I, we've been talking about this for the past few years, and I'm concerned that somewhere along the line, the message of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King has been hijacked, and we're going through what I call revisionist history, because now on his observance day, it's, you know, we talk about it's not a day off, it's a day on. And we're not talking about social justice. We're not talking about discrimination. We're not talking about Jim Crow. We're not talking about walls of segregation. We're not talking about annihilation. We're not talking about the global impact of injustices that's happening throughout the world that Dr. King would have addressed. But what we're sharing with our brothers and sisters on this particular day across race, creed, and color, that to celebrate this holiday, go get a paintbrush and go paint a wall. Go get a trash bag and go pick up trash. Go volunteer somewhere. And that's the legacy. That's how we're going to celebrate the legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Who would like to go first, Reverend Duckworth, Reverend Dr. Duckworth, Reverend Dr. Waltower? Who would like to go first? Is this the correct message that America should be sending its citizens as well as the global community, that Dr. King's day is a day to pick up a paintbrush and go pick up trash?
No, it's not. And I will yield to the brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha. I will give them the first opportunity to talk about their brother, their distinguished brother, and I will come on after either Dr. Duckworth or Dr. Johnson, but I don't believe that is the message. And that's not why he died. He died fighting for equality, equity, and for social justice. So I'm going to yield to my Alpha brothers, and then I'll respond on the back end. I see Dr. Duckworth smiling, so it looks like he ready to jump in this conversation.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, not only has Dr. King's message been whitewashed, but the gospel has been whitewashed. Mm. And I think there's a wonderful book by a Reverend Dr. Theron Williams entitled Black Church, White Theology. Mm. And it sort of gives it's a snapshot in what is occurring in our community and across this country where the focus of social justice takes the back seat to just, you know, this fairy tale version of Christianity, whereas Christ didn't do any protesting against injustices, which would eliminate the whole situation that occurred before he got arrested, which was the upsetting of the cart in the marketplace because they were charging exorbitant amounts. They were socially, economically impressing and oppressing the poor. And he vehemently responded to that by throwing them out. Mm-hmm. So as it relates to Dr. King, yes, they want us to just, you know, overcome, hold hands and sing kumbaya, but they're not addressing the issue of what he was talking about. And social justice has almost become a bad word because some from the evangelical community have hijacked it and have made it bad. And unfortunately, you got some folks who look like us who are drinking that Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
Dr. King did not, he was not killed for dreaming. He was killed for being quote unquote woke. And when you listen to the I've Been to the Mountaintop speech, his final speech in Memphis, he started talking about economic divestment of companies and corporations that did not respect African-Americans. And he told us that if they don't respect you as a person, do not patronize them with your pocket. And then when you look at his letter from the Birmingham jail, he talked about the four stages of direct action. Dr. King began to talk about an economic shift when he began to talk about the war in Vietnam, and his message became more and more economical. And he started talking about the poor. He started talking about the money that was being sent to fight this war that could have been to be invested in the least, the lost, the left out, and the left behind. So I think the message has been hijacked because the messenger has been characterized. Those of us who don't know the legacy of Dr. King and all we know is the I Have a Dream speech, there are a whole lot of speeches that Dr. King gave. And the I Have a Dream speech that he gave on Washington in Washington was a culmination of several speeches. Matter of fact, he gave that for the first time in Detroit, Michigan. That was the first time he talked about having the dream. But it became a landmark speech in Washington. But when you read when you begin to read his writings and you begin to listen to his speeches from probably around 1965 to about the time he was assassinated, he started talking about economics. And he started giving African Americans an economic blueprint for economic success. And I think that message has been lost, that we see him as a dreamer and not as a visionary. Dr. King was not and he would oftentimes say this, he was not a leader of a movement. He was a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's that he always identified himself as a preacher first. And with that, he had convictions that paralleled with the gospel. And Dr. Duckworth is right. Not only has his message been hijacked and whitewashed, but the gospel itself, that now even Jesus is not even seen in the commonplace or in the marketplace of standing up against social injustice. And we know his clarion call, Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And then he talks about setting the captives free. That's liberation theology. So Jesus's whole message was about liberation. And so we cannot preach Christ without talking about liberation. And we cannot talk about Dr. King without talking about the liberation, not just of our people, but of all people. He died for the civil rights of everyone, the least, the lost, the left out, and the left behind.
Wow, Pastor Johnson, I just want to read this excerpt. Reverend Dr. John Duckworth, he mentioned a book, Black Church, White Theology. And I have a sample of the book because I'm getting ready to purchase this book. That's kind of deep. I'm doing an interview and get ready to purchase a book on Kindle. But the introduction says the term evangelical has biblical roots in both the Old and New Testaments. There is a vast difference, however, between biblical evangelicalism and white evangelicalism. Pastor Johnson, this is definitely a subject we got to talk about. Pastor Johnson, I'm going to give you the mic for the opportunity to comment. And to our producer, we're going to bypass the 1:15 station break, and we're just going to let this conversation flow as we continue to unplug how do we recapture the message of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
I think one of the things that we have to understand is that when you go to Black liberation theology, when you go to the fact that James Cone says that God is the God of the oppressed, and Dr. King was, even in his message, was letting the world know that God was on the side of those who are oppressed. And being a Black preacher and understanding the whole thing around the injustice of the time, we've got to understand that the hijacking of King's legacy is done for two particular reasons. And the first particular reason it is done so that it does not empower those who have power but feel powerless. And when they do that, they relegated King to a mythical figure that only marches on Washington and only dies in Memphis. And where they want us to sing "We Shall Overcome," and where they want us to gather around and get a paintbrush, pick up trash, and work for schools, the same schools we're painting are the same schools that our children can't get a quality education in. The same schools that we are picking up trash, the same school in which they're selling drugs. The same neighborhoods in which you want to come in once a year and go ahead and talk about revitalization, they are totally devoid of economic empowerment. And so the thing that King did was, all the time, he marched to the places and went to the places where people didn't want to look at and didn't want to see. And the thing that King did was, remember that the Montgomery bus boycott was economic.
That's right.
It was economic. And we know that when we start hitting folk in their pockets, that's the only language that a certain part of America understands. Mm-hmm. And there is no doubt in my mind that the diabolical thing that we have done, that they have done in America, is to make sure that they're giving us a dead prophet, not a living legacy.
Great point.
And so the thing is, has it been hijacked? I would say it's been hijacked, kidnapped, and stomped. And the key is that when we don't want to see the least and the last and the lost and the left out and the left behind. We don't want to see them. What we want to see is this prosperity message that certain evangelical preachers are preaching. And we want to talk about how great God is and how great he's going to. And yet still, we can't eat on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And so the question for me becomes, how do we recapture the spirit of King, but also grab the legacy of King and take it to the next level, which will not be something in which we will go to the mountain, but it's something that we need to go to the alleys mm-hmm. and get our brothers and sisters to pick them up and help them move forward.
So there's a couple of words that's been thrown around liberation. And it's fair to say that all four of us, and I'm profound and prophetic and proud to say I am a liberation theologian. And throughout this liberation theological journey, I go back to one of my liberation heroes, my liberation theological heroes. Dr. King is one. Oscar Romero is another, who fought against militarism and lost his life in the 80s in El Salvador. I'm currently reading this book and I'm almost done. It's called The Scandal of Redemption: When God Liberates the Poor, Save Sinners, and heal the nation. And on chapter 8, he has a subject. Chapter 8, it's entitled Liberation. And he said, Christ presents himself to us with his great liberating work. He says, the truth is that liberation is a biblical word that expresses the whole work of the Lord in saving us from sin. He says, new human beings are the liberating work. It means making new men and new women who separate themselves from sin, cast aside their selfishness, idolatry, and pride, and become humble followers of Christ the Lord. He goes on to say, that is why Christianity is shocking, because it must preach this liberating work of declaring all men and women equal in Christ. Interior renewal of the heart is what makes all people equal. So let us renew ourselves. But here's the deep part. He says the word liberation bothers many people, but it's the reality of Christ's redemption. Liberation does not mean only redemption after sin, so that people should just conform to the system while they are alive. No. Liberation is redemption that is already beginning on this earth. Liberation means that exploitation of one human being by another no longer exists. Liberation means redemption that seeks to free people from slavery no longer exists. Slavery is illiteracy. Slavery is hunger, not having money to buy food. Slavery is being homeless, not having a place to live. Slavery is misery. They go together. From the great liberation theologian, Oscar Romero. So one thing that bothers me about King's message, and I go back to take a shovel and get a little deep here. My wife and I talked about this maybe a few months ago. When I'm meditating and I'm just walking, I get hit with revelations, right? And I don't even be thinking about stuff, and these just spiritual revelations come. And then it was confirmed when I was watching the movie Back to the Future. And so as much as I like Back to the Future, one day the Lord shared with me that Back to the Future is really a movie about revisionist history, to go back into the past, right? To change something in the past in order to change the outcome of the present and the future. But when you go back in the past to change something, then you end up messing it up. So then after I got that revelation about a year ago, I'm watching a movie a few months ago, and check this out. Here it is. Michael J. Fox is on the stage. I'm going somewhere with this, and he's playing the guitar, right? And he's really bringing this rock type of thing into existence. And so then one of the African-American characters says, hey, something Barry, tell Chuck he got to hear this sound, right? Y'all catch it? Tell Chuck he has to hear this sound. Now, here's the unspoken. If Chuck hears the sound, Chuck Berry, who's one of the fathers of rock and roll, the originators of rock and roll, and you listen to Michael J. Fox playing the guitar, revisionist history says that it wasn't Chuck Berry that was the creator of rock and roll. It was Michael J. Fox's character, a white character. They're the ones who created rock and roll and not people of color. And what we are experiencing with Dr. King's holiday is a revisionist history, where we want to go back in time and not focus on the drum major of justice who gave his life, whose blood got shed in Memphis because he was fighting for the Poor People's Campaign. He was fighting to make sure that the walls of segregation came down. He was fighting to make sure that equality was on, you know, that equality was equal for everyone and not just only a few. How do we reverse this revisionist history that's trying to change the message of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
I would say that we have to do what a good Sigma brother said. We ought to get into some good trouble. We need to get into some good trouble. All of us need to get into some good trouble. Congressman John Lewis would always talk about getting into good trouble. And I think when you look at the message of Dr. King, we have to recommit ourselves to what I call the three convictions, or rather the three core values of this struggle. We have to have courage, we have to have conviction, and we have to be committed. Mm. If we're going to recapture what Dr. King preached and lived for. He didn't just preach it, he lived it. He was a man of courage, he was a man of conviction, and he was a man that was committed all the way to what we would call Calvary. He gave his life for what he believed. And I think we've lost that. Going back to the example that you gave with the Back to the Future, I'm reminded of James Baldwin. He says to be Black and to be conscious in America is to be in a constant state of rage. When you look at the constant revisiting of history and the constant retelling of old stories and the constant attack on our contributions in this country and the constant attack. And when you see what is happening in the new and in the incoming administration, and some of the rollbacks on things that we fought for, the Civil Rights Bill, the Voting Rights Act, the Free Housing Act, affirmative action, all these landmark Brown versus the Board of Education. And when you really look at what Make America Break Great Again, it's really trying to go back to Plessy versus Ferguson of 1893, that talked about to be separate but equal was constitutional. And of course, Brown versus the Board of Education in 1953 declared that unconstitutional. And from 1953 up until the Civil Rights Movement, that's when you started getting all of these landmark legislations toward equality, toward equity, toward social justice. So when you're talking about going back, you're talking about going back to a time of Plessy versus Ferguson. That's what this whole thing is about. And if you don't understand that, the agenda is to take us back to a time when we were not men. When Dr. King was assassinated, the black men had signs. When you look at the picture, it said, "I am a man.
I'm a man."
Because black men were not looked at as men. We were not looked at as equals, and so we were not just fighting for our individual rights. We were fighting for manhood. That we are men, men too. And so I think James Baldwin was onto something when he talked about this constant state of rage. And then going to the gospel, you talked about Dr. King being a gospel preacher, and I'm going to let these theologians get into this conversation. I believe that the writer, Hosea, if I'm not mistaken, Micah said, what does the Lord, Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require you? But to do just, to love mercy, to walk humbly before our God, the clarion call for every believer is to do justice. Mm-hmm. Our salvation is wrapped up into justice. The first responsibility that the scripture calls us to do is to seek to make right things that are wrong. And so when you look at the evangelical message about salvation and liberation, just being about liberation from sin, that's not theological sound, because liberation is not just the liberation of the soul, but it's the liberation of the mind, the body, the holistic ministry. So I think we have to get back to understanding and preaching that to be saved means to stand up for what is right, even in a culture that defines what is right being wrong. We're living in a culture that has basically said the things that the Bible says is right is categorically wrong. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of preachers and believers not being vocal or not taking a stand on biblical orthodoxy. So I think we have to get back to being people of conviction, people of courage, and people who are committed. And I think that's how we recapture what the message of Dr. King is all about. We have to be courageous. We have to be have to have conviction. And then, of course, we have to be committed to the cause that we're fighting for.
Wow. Wow. Pastor Duckworth, you want to chime in?
Sure. I think one of the things we have to do is we have to, those of us who are awake, those of us who understand, we have to be willing to be prophetic. And understand that being prophetic, I think there has been a draw, particularly in our community, where we are wavering to be popular instead of prophetic. We have to get on the street of prophetic and leave popular alone.
Right.
And I think if we don't, then we would be no different than John Jasper, the great slave preacher who folks were in love with because he blessed their mess. Mm-hmm. To the point that he was praying that the South would win the Civil War and their slavery would be reenacted, even though he had spent his first 50 years of his life in slavery. Mm-hmm. And so when an African-American preacher in particular dared divorce themselves from liberation and what it means, you can't have salvation without liberation. They go together. The first human act that God did with humanity was what? The Exodus experience. What is the Exodus experience? It is an oppressed people
who called upon God to deliver them from an oppressive government. And then after they were delivered in the 12th chapter, he tells them, tell you what, you're going to ask them for reparations.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And they went and told them what they wanted, and they got it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we have been pushed back to this benign, just be go along, get along kind of attitude. And we got to understand Christianity is not for the fainting heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if individuals who do not understand, they need to get out of the way,
mm-hmm.
because they're doing more harm to our community than they are doing well. And we have too many slave catchers in our pulpits who are not concerned about liberation. They just want folks to be saved. But if you don't have total salvation, you don't have liberation, you don't have total salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, Jesus got in trouble when all he was doing, it was right after, as we talked about, whenever you start messing with money, death usually follows closely behind.
Mm-hmm.
His last act, what do we know of that happened on Holy Week, was when he went to the temple
and disrupted the temple.
He began to mess with the economics of that time, and then it wasn't long after then he was gone. Dr. King, when he started talking about a poor people's campaign, not just black folks, but all poor people, and we're going to campaign, they got rid of him. Mm-hmm. So it's a dangerous role. But it's a worthy role, and we have to get back to highlight that and leave the pageantry that had, you know, and unfortunately, whenever something is economic, when there can be money gained from it, that's going to be the highlight. Even unfortunately in Israel, there's so much commercialization of Christmas that you don't even feel like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no connection. I had more of a connection in Africa than I did in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Let's do this to our producer. Let's go on a 30-second station break conversation unplug on WWDB 860 AM. And then when we come back from our 30-second station break, here's the lead-in question. How has the Black church lost the message of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? All right. So let's take our 30-second station break. And when we come back, let's start off by discussing how has the Black church lost the message of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Our 30-second station break at this time.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care.
Welcome back to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM. I have two quick announcements, and then we're going to get into the lead-in question, how has the Black church lost the message of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? This coming Sunday, a Vision of Hope Baptist Church, 908 West Avenue, Jenkintown, PA 19046. We are having our Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Sunday. Our guest preacher will be Bishop Dwayne Royster. He is the executive director in Faith in Action. Our service starts at 10 a.m. So bring a family member, bring a friend, bring yourself. It is our MLK Sunday, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Sunday. We want to continue to honor the legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So stop by Vision of Hope Baptist Church, 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Bishop Dwayne Royster will be our guest preacher as we celebrate MLK Sunday this particular Sunday. All right. And to my class of 85 members, amen, to all the members of Chester High School class of 85. On February 15th, 2025, we're having what is called Rubies and Rhinestone Ball, Saturday, February 15th, 2025, at the Booth Wynn Ballroom, 1405 Meeting House Road, Booth Wynn, PA, formal attire, rust and black with, ruby and black with a splash of rhinestone. Our guest DJ Myron Biz Rochester of the class of 82. Tickets are $50 for singles, $85 for couples. Anybody has any questions or anything like that, please inbox me. We would love to have your face in the place. Now, getting back, man, what a great discussion that we're having today. Great discussion. Has the Black church lost the message of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Pastor Johnson, what's your thoughts about that, man?
Well, I think sometimes the Black church loses the message of Jesus Christ. You can't talk about the message of Dr. King without talking the message of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're preaching sometimes in our pulpits a watered-down gospel, a safe message. Because we're afraid to offend folk, because if we offend folk, they'll leave.
Mm-hmm. Or won't give.
In my denomination, we're afraid to offend folk, because if you offend folk, it might mess up your pension.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you want to talk about Martin Luther King, the key with Dr. King was he didn't mind offending people,
mm-hmm.
because he stood on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that we have done is we have not lived the legacy and given that legacy to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say it out loud. Sometimes preachers stay too long and lose their effectiveness, and they can't be the voice that the community needs as it transitions to another place.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about has the church lost the message, in some cases the church never had the message.
Wow.
Listen, the one thing is to hear the voice of the prophet but never hear the message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always tell, especially couples that I do premarital counseling with, I say there's a difference between hearing and listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the church needs to hear the cry of those in need and then listen to the message that the word gives on how to meet that need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got news for you. As I was sitting here thinking, and I was thinking about Dr. Duckworth, I was thinking like this. Listen, nobody hijacked the message. We gave it up willingly.
Wow.
We relinquished the message willingly. See, folk can only take from you what you're willing to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't fight hard enough to ensure that the legacy stayed in our hands. We've allowed it. We've allowed white liberals and well-meaning people to tell us what we need to do about Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
And churches, we're about ready to have another shift, a paradigm shift in our country. And it's apropos that on the day that Donald Trump gets inaugurated is the day that we celebrate Dr. King. It's also ironic that the day that we celebrate the inauguration, all the flags are at half mast.
Mm-hmm.
Because it should be a day of mourning for America.
Mm.
Because what we have allowed is, we, African Americans, have allowed, if you will, someone not just to hijack the message, but someone also to hijack the moment in which we should be celebrating what he's accomplished rather than protesting who's coming in office.
Wow.
So we've relinquished the legacy of Dr. King and gave it to somebody else to redefine for us and our next generation and our children. And let me say this. Dr. Duckworth said about his children, and I need full disclosure, he is my cousin. I need to be full disclosure. But what legacy, if he doesn't tell them the legacy and the story of Dr. King and get them involved, then he will just be a mythical figure. Mm-hmm. That they learn about in somebody else's revisionist history. So what are we doing to make sure that the next generation understands that we need to live the legacy and be about liberation? Because the people that we want to liberate are the people who don't even know they're bound.
Mm. So let me extend this question, because there's some great information that's coming out, great dialogue and everything. I often ponder on this question, and I think this is a result of reading Michael Eric Dyson's book almost a decade ago, 1968. So I want to raise the question, Pastor Duckworth, Pastor Walthall, you can decide which one want to take a stab at this answer. Did the federalizing Dr. King's birthday as a holiday, did it hurt us or did it help us?
I'll let my brother take the first stab. Since I jumped on the first one, unless he want me to take the first stab.
I'm going to duck this question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I recall hearing a sermon from the late Dr. Charles G. Adams.
And he said the worst thing that happened was for them to memorialize him by giving him a holiday. And he said Dr. King would have never wanted a holiday. On one hand, as an African-American, it's great to have a holiday where someone who looks like us is recognized. But on the other hand, you got to remember who was in power when it became a holiday.
Yes, right. Reagan.
So one of the things we have to understand is that you can't trick or treat with the devil without the devil get the trick, the treat, and you end up being the trick. And so this is what has occurred. And so I do believe that it was that's when it was able to be more sanitized and more whitewashed because it's a federal holiday. And so, you know, we got, I want to be nice. So we got individuals, we got slave catchers in North Carolina talking about, you know, he's going to work that day and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, 47 refers to him as Dr. King on steroids. I mean, just ridiculous kind of. But what, you know, what we grow to expect and what we can expect for the next 4 years, at least. But to answer that question, I think it's a two-edged sword. I think from one angle, it was great to have someone who looked like us to be recognized. But on the other hand, it was given to us. But the purpose was not to celebrate us. It was to encapture us. Because, again, I can't name any time America has done anything for our benefit that have benefited us.
Come on.
It has always looked like it was for our good, but it was never intended for our good. Now, God may have made it for our good.
Right.
We didn't get the Bible for liberation purposes. We got the Bible so that we could be good, nice slaves.
That's right.
And then after the insurrection occurred in Haiti, they came out with the slave Bible because they didn't want us reading about liberation. So the 90% of the Old Testament was eliminated. 50% of the New Testament was eliminated. So we would just be good, nice slaves who would obey our masters and not seek the liberation that Moses sought when he told Pharaoh to let my people go. So this is the kind of situation where it was given to us, but it was not given to us for the purpose of liberation. It was given to us for the purpose of holidayization, making it a holiday.
Wow.
I'm inclined to agree. I think on top of that is it became, once that occurred, it became our responsibility as people of color to be keepers of the faith. And to ensure that the federalization of Dr. King's legacy in a national holiday does not regulate him to being memorialized. But every year, his legacy is called into account, to remember. And I think what happened is that we drank the Kool-Aid as a people. We dropped the ball as preachers, not necessarily the preachers that's on this line, but when you look at the gospel of the African-American church, and I know we talk about where there should be one church, but the truth of the matter is there would not be an African-American church if the white churches had allowed us to fellowship and worship with them, in the beginning. The only reason
why they've been born again.
The only reason why there's a black church is because we weren't welcome in other churches. And so we took the gospel and the truth be told, the black church is the closest thing to the New Testament church that we have right now. Mm-hmm. It is the closest thing to the New Testament church that we have in America, maybe in the world, but definitely in America. The closest thing we have to the New Testament church is the black church in terms of preaching, in terms of reaching, in terms of Christ, in terms of liberation, in terms of confronting racism, confronting injustice, fighting for the least, the lost, the left out. If you want, and going back to what Dr. Duckworth talked about, and oftentimes say, I talk about this at Shiloh, that Christianity in America is a business. Christianity, Western Christianity, is not the same as biblical Christianity.
That's
European
right.
Christianity is not the same as biblical Christianity. American Christianity is not the same as biblical Christianity. Amen. Biblical Christianity will always lead you to Calvary. Mm. If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to end up at Calvary. There's no doubt about it. And so if the road that you're following, and you say that you are a follower of Christ, and that road does not lead you to Calvary, then you're not following the Christ of Nazareth. Hmm. Because he tells us to take up our cross and follow him daily. So I think as preachers, as a church, as a people, we thought that we had arrived. And what we fail to understand is that what we thought was acceptance is tolerance.
That's
powerful.
And we see that with the rollback of these initiative. You know, we see Meta rolling back. We see Apple's board just passed a ruling that they are encouraging Apple to not roll back their DEI initiatives as it was suggested that they do. But we see Walmart, we see these Fortune 500 companies rolling back on these initiatives. Why are they rolling back? Because they were never for it in the first place. It was never something that they wanted to do. It was not about acceptance. It was about tolerance. And now that it's no longer, you know, popular to be tolerant, we don't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very careful of not confusing acceptance for tolerance. And I think a lot of times we as a people, we thought we were being accepted, you know, by certain people and by certain populations. And the truth of the matter is that this incoming administration is going to show a lot of people that you were never accepted. You were tolerated. Mm-hmm. And we see that happening more and more across this country, where people of color are now coming out saying, you know, this happened to me, that happened to me. Well, it happened because you were never accepted. Because if you was truly accepted, what's happened to you would have never happened.
So
we got to be very careful of that.
So a couple comments. My wife chimes in. Reverend Benita Weather says, Western Christianity is not biblical Christianity. So true. My line brother from Charles City, Virginia, Jeff Ponch Hayes, he raises a question. He says, as our community is not a monolith and doesn't follow Christian faith exclusively, is there room for Black people of other walks and religion to work for social justice together and not feel isolated or judged because their religious beliefs are not King's beliefs? I would say yes. When you look at the civil rights movement, there were many of different religious backgrounds that joined into the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. When I look at the Million Man March, I'm a Christian. New Farrakhan is a Nation of Islam. I was there with my father, with my brother, with a couple of other Christian pastors. Mind you, this is an event that was led by Nation of Islam, but yet we don't subscribe to the theology of the Nation of Islam. But we was right there, 1995 at the Million Man March. So I would say yes, that you don't necessarily have to be a Christian to fight for social justice. Think about it. Gandhi wasn't a Christian, but he fought for social justice as well.
There isn't a religion that doesn't have a social justice element connected to it.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. But if you look at the I Have a Dream speech, who was on the stage with King?
Mm-hmm. Diverse, religious diversity. That's right.
But what people don't understand is at the I Have a Dream speech, it was the Muslim brothers who are providing the security for King.
Wow. Yeah.
They were providing the security for King because they could not trust that the powers that be would keep him safe in that element. Look at it really clear and look at who's behind him and around him as he gives that speech. And there's always, listen, it doesn't matter what religious background you come from. Racism doesn't really just work for religion. It works on race. So it doesn't really matter. And listen, and ethnicity. And so you got to understand that oppression doesn't really filter through religious, or it's just diabolical on all. You had Jewish people with King. You had Catholic people with King. You had Muslim people with King. You had, listen, you even had Buddhist people with King. You had people who understood that if there was ever going to be change, everybody had to come together to fight against one common enemy. Mm-hmm. And that was racism and injustice.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's very important that we understand when you look at Dr. King and Malcolm X, their messages became more in sync. When you looked at Dr. King, he was becoming more and more. He was always extreme.
Yes.
Dr. King was militant, but make no question about it. Dr. King's approach, nonviolent resistance, was a militancy. He talked about being militant. He wasn't passive. It was a very militant agenda, but it was nonviolent. But the nonviolence does not make it not militant. And when Malcolm went over to Mecca and he saw the variation of races that were Islam, he came back with a whole different perspective of the Muslim faith. And he began to shift and he began to look at white brothers and sisters, not necessarily as allies per se, but definitely as those that could help. But he did not want them to help without us helping ourselves first. His message was, we have to get to a point of helping ourselves before we can invite others to come in and help us. Mm-hmm. So I think when we look at Dr. King's latter years and Malcolm's latter years, and we look at the message that they both preached, they began to really get on the same page, right, of their approach and their messaging in terms of the economic. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the economic, mm-hmm, socioeconomic, mm-hmm, injustices and the oppression of people of color, as well as, because that Duckworth mentioned, Dr. Duckworth talked about it, not just black people, but poor people across all socioeconomic lines. So I believe that there's room for every faith group at this table of racial equality, social justice, and fighting against oppression. I believe it's not a matter of whether you're a Baptist or a Catholic. It's about justice. You know, what does the Lord require you? Not what does your denomination require you? What does the Lord require you to do justice? That's a divine mandate. That's not a religious mandate. That's a divine mandate. So regardless of what your faith walk is, all of us are called to do just, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God.
Wow. We have 3 minutes left. Where do we go from here? How do we recapture the message? Where do we go from here? Pastor Duckworth, Pastor Johnson, Pastor Waltire, y'all can do it within about 30 to 45 seconds, and then we'll bring the show to a close.
Go back to the beginning and stick with liberation.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the fight is not over. And remember that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's powerful. Dr. King reminded us that we're inextricably connected, that what happens to one of us inextricably affects all of us. It's a domino effect. And don't think that because it's not happening to you, it won't happen to you.
Hmm.
And I think as preachers, as pulpiteers, as a people, where do we go? We have to go back. I'm with Dr. Duckworth and Johnson. We got to go back to where it all began. And I would encourage pastors and preachers to go back and begin to revisit what Dr. King said as we come up to this Sunday. And not just the I Have a Dream speech, but go, and not just I've been to the mountaintop, but his other speeches where he really talked about and he challenged the powers that be to do what is right. He said it this way. He said, do what you've committed to on paper. Mm-hmm. He said, if I was in another country that didn't have what we agreed to, he said, but somewhere I read about the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read about the freedom of press. Somewhere I read about the right to protest for what's right. He said, be true to what you have on paper. And all we're saying is be true to the Constitution. Mm-hmm. If it's on paper, honor what you said you was going to honor. Because there's more than enough money to cash the check.
Wow. Well, you know, 1 minute left. Scary, bring this to a close here. This has been a very robust conversation. And Pastor Johnson, you would agree with me. We get into deep conversations to unplug. When we talk about unplugging, we want to unplug it and bring insight that's not talked about in the mainstream media. But the deep part is, in this particular setting and venue, we can't do it within 55 minutes. We can only touch on various aspects of it, which means that Pastor Johnson and you are my accountability brother. This means that I got to get the other aspect of the podcast up and going so we can have more time to have more robust insight and conversation. I want to thank Reverend Dr. John Duckworth. I want to thank Reverend Dr. Larry Waltower. I want to thank my brother in Christ, since 2006, Pastor Robert Johnson, for being a co-host on Conversation Unplugged. And now we're getting ready to bring this to a close. As we bring this to a close, here's the final comment. Martin Luther King's Observance Day on Monday is not a day on or a day off. It's a day of social justice. That's a time to reflect how far God has brought us. This is a time to look at where we are now. And it's also a time to ask the question, God, where would you have us to go from here as we carry out the pursuit of liberation, salvation, and God's justice to the world? Thank you for checking out Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM. This is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers, host, co-host Reverend Robert Johnson, guest Reverend Dr. John E. Duckworth, Reverend Dr. Larry Waltower, Blue Five Pastor Waltower. We get ready to unplug so we can plug back in next week. Take care. God bless me.
I see you, Johnson. I see you, Johnson.
Oh, six?